We're now we're live. Don't you forget it.
Hello out there.
So like I was saying, I checked Facebook today, and one of my notifications in there wasn't like happy birthday. One of my notifications was we saw an image that you had on there that we found somewhere else, and we know it's bad, so we put a fact check on it. And and they said, if you keep doing this, we're going to restrict your account. Now, so with that being said, I don't care if they restrict my account personally. I'm like, okay, maybe it'll give me some time away from Facebook. What I do care about is that I use that account to access the church page
right.
to do the online.
Mm-hmm.
And if they restrict my account, then I can't go on the church page and do online.
Right.
Right.
And I'm the only administrator on that account. No, that's not true. I think I put Sister on there as an administrator.
Yeah.
You got enough slack?
I'm good. I'm just sitting.
You look good today. I really like what you got going on there.
I said the same thing. I was like, I love your shirt. And then he had the hat. I was like, Brother McCree looking fresh. Fresh to death.
I'm still trying to wake up, okay?
You're still trying to wake up?
Yes, I am.
You mean after all that poking and prodding, you're falling asleep?
Oh, bro, they wore me out.
Wore me out. You know the one thing that bothers me about American Lake is you got to walk all over that thing, man.
I didn't know the thing was four-storage building.
Yeah, but not just that, man. It's like covers the whole. Go to the pharmacy. Jeez. You got to walk clear across the building to get to the pharmacy. Go over here. Get this.
But it's better than going to Seattle. That's where they've been wanting to send me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go all the way to Seattle. So I'm thankful. I'm not complaining too much. But it was just a day of trying to prove something.
Hey, they trained you for the VA, you know that? When you're in the Army, they train you for the
absolutely.
VA.
Absolutely.
They like put you in a line absolutely. And then they make you wait all day.
Absolutely.
They get you up at 5 a.m.
absolutely.
To go out, to go someplace, absolutely. And then you sit out in the parking lot absolutely. Till 1 p.m. before you finally absolutely. Actually do anything.
You're correct. And it didn't bother me. Matter of fact, I had three things today. That was a VA, talk to Terry,
mm-hmm.
hang out with Terry, and then come here. Because I knew it was going to be an all-day affair.
Yeah.
All of the new. That's from just past experience with them. But I gotta jump through their hoops right now to get what I want. And I don't have no say-so on what I do.
I don't know. How are you going to argue with the government? Ain't nothing you can do about that.
No. Can't argue with the
I know
Sam.
you guys don't pay attention to WNBA.
Mm-mm.
But, man, they had a video yesterday where...
I like Caitlin Clark.
Angel Reese smacked Caitlin Clark right upside the head. I mean, it was flagrant. She came down on her like a vengeance, man. Hit her upside the head.
Hate.
It's just... Oh, hate. It's so dirty.
Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Didn't the Bible
say
that?
Her whole spiel has been like professional, you know, work the game. And then all you got to bring is just hitting somebody upside the head. That's your strategy.
Right. Well,
that's your way of getting back.
You notice you ever get in conversation with people, and when you get them frustrated, what they do, they start calling you names.
Right. If they can't win an argument, move into insulting. Right.
You're a bigot. I said, yeah. So what's a bigot? You are. So how does a big ass like you? Okay, what is? And they have no.
Right.
There's no cut. There's no facts. Yeah. There's no.
Right. Do not ever expect them to define words like gaslighting. And,
right, and it just
misogynist. Could you define the word misogyny for me?
It's just amazing.
You were just supposed to get upset when I called you a misogynist.
Let me ask you two a question. I had and this was in my mind this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard to give somebody your trust and to give somebody mercy? I mean, it's hard to build that, you know, that trust.
Mm-hmm.
but it goes so quickly. You know.
Yeah.
You think you trust somebody or somebody, you think somebody trusts you.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, okay, but then immediately they don't trust you anymore, and it's like, what happened?
Maybe they
can
got,
you give me mercy for making a mistake?
Yeah.
Because if you make a mistake, I give you mercy. Uh-huh. But it's just, why is it so hard for someone to show mercy?
Crickets. I would say probably because, well, I don't know. I guess in my opinion, it would be because they don't experience mercy a lot in their lives. And so a lot of the times you just do to others what's done to you. So most of the time people are treated pretty bad. And, because the world is separated from God. So you look at people's lives and a lot of the time they've been betrayed. So when they feel that they've been betrayed by someone that they thought they could trust, if they even get the inkling of that, your immediate response in the flesh is to defy and to like shun that person. That's what I would say. But
the word that comes to my mind is bitterness. So because I've been subject to bitterness. You get mad at somebody because they did you wrong, and you may superficially forgive somebody, but you have not truly let it go. And so somewhere deep down in there's this lingering, and all it does is just takes one little thing to kind of trigger it, and then that bitterness surfaces again.
Yeah.
And then and I'm not trying to be critical.
No, that's a good point. I'm not, and I want to make sure that it's not something that just happened to me today or last week, anything.
Right.
This just came to my mind this morning, just dealing with the different people at the VA. The one guy, the first guy, he was just so relaxed. He said, don't worry about it, Mr. McCree. Just calm down. Take your time. Because I went through this process last time, and there was a woman, and she had all these positive, be the greatest. Only you, be all you can, all these, and immediately,
affirmations.
Immediately, I could not blow into the thing the way she was. I mean, she just got so mad at me. She was so frustrated with me. She kicked me out of her office.
What?
She pretty much said, oh, insufficient. And this guy this morning was just, I mean,
yeah.
It's usually maybe a 10-minute test. We was there 20, 30 minutes because he said, calm down, Mr. McCree. Here, slow down. Let me give you a shot of this albuterol. Breathe. He said, I usually give people 15 minutes. He said, you need 30 minutes to breathe, catch your breath. And he was just constantly he was just talking to me, calm me down. And I'm looking at him like I'm ready for him to jump off the...
The people that show patience.
Yes.
Long-suffering towards others.
Yes.
That's what that is. Well, in my experience, because when you go to the doctor, or anywhere, really, if someone doesn't really want to be there doing what they're supposed to be doing, the people that they're serving know that, whether it's in the medical field or, you're out at a restaurant. Because it's like... Have you ever been to a restaurant and the waiter doesn't care how long you take to order? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you guys, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Look over the menu.
Right.
You know, they'll go above and beyond. And you'll get somebody that's just like, I hate that you're even here.
Right.
And
but in return, they want you to trust them what they're doing. I trust this guy because he was just so merciful to me. He says, hold on, Mr. McCree. He ran out and got me some cold water and brought me back water.
Yeah.
And picked up, my hat fell out on the floor. He picked it up and put it on his desk. And he was like, just be relaxed.
Yeah.
He said, I was like, what is going on?
I think also is that mentality, which you have to train yourself for.
mm-hmm.
is a mentality of consideration. Mm. So a lot of people, their world is them.
Yes.
Right. And I'm not saying, I mean, we all struggle with this kind of stuff. But their world is them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's the reason why when you get cut off in traffic, no one ever stops to say, well, why did this person cut me off? Or, is there an emergency or something?
Right.
You know, or they're a kid and they're just too naive to know what they're doing and they're having fun or whatever it is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the other person did have a malicious intent, you know, and it's hard. It is hard to do is to be considerate, mm-hmm. to be forgiving.
Yes.
And to be patient with people, which kind of rolls all back onto the fruit of the spirit and having the fruit of the spirit, having that peace, having that joy, having mm-hmm. that love, having that right. temperance, long suffering, meekness. Those things do not come naturally.
No.
They don't come naturally.
You want to know something really sweet? Daniel was doing his Bible reading yesterday, and it said, he was reading Psalms, serve the Lord with joy. And he goes, Mom, that's just like Brother McCree. He came in the room, he was like, look, this reminds me of Brother McCree. This always happened, no matter what's going on. And he was like, he is this scripture, serves the wow. Lord with joy. And I was like, man, I got to tell Brother about this. That's funny that you brought that up.
That kid, I mean, honestly, even when I walk in, he's sitting there. If I just go and just say something, he perks up and he's like, oh, I got it. And it's easy. And that's what I'm saying. It's easy. People trust you more when you're merciful to them. You're long-suffering to them, and you're trying to be understanding. You want somebody mm-hmm. to trust you, and you're always, you can't get this right. Why can't you get this right? I don't know.
Yeah.
You want me to trust you? Like, how do we build trust? Is right. every time I do something, you snap my head off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can't allow me to be myself. Just allow me to be myself.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, and I don't want to be super spiritual, and I'm not trying to be super Christian,
mm-hmm.
but what happened to just being kind to one another?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if everything that is everything in life is just communicating to you anger and strife and every avenue you look at is communicating to you, you know, the sourness of life and things are against you and you know, all you do is, you know, you feed. I liked what Pastor Davis used to say about sowing and reaping. He said that some of these people, they receive the seeds of bitterness and pain and sorrow and whatever, and they take those seeds and they sow them again. Mm-hmm. And then they turn around and they're like, why am I so full of this? Is it because they're in this vicious cycle where mm-hmm. all they're doing is receiving bitterness and they're re-sowing that bitterness mm-hmm. and it just keeps accumulating
mm-hmm.
and it's like they can't get out of that cycle. And that's where they need that deliverance to be able to break free
right.
from that cycle. Now, I mean, I know people can, you know, actively try to do things to break out of that cycle, but it has to be personal.
Right.
And, you know, I also was thinking about how that, you know, Jesus said, if a man smite thee on thy cheek, turn the cheek. And he says, right. if a man compel thee to go with him a mile, go with him too.
Right.
You know, that there was this attitude of,
that's it.
You know, this attitude of like,
yes.
I can't allow what this person's doing to affect me. And that's not easy.
No, no.
But that's kind of the mentality.
And that's exactly what I was saying, because
kind of feed. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to throw this in real quick. You got to kind of help them break that cycle.
Yes.
By giving them some good seeds.
Well, again, I'm dealing with V8. I'm dealing with, when I go in these offices, these are World War II, these are Vietnam vets. Even today, these guys are older than me. And I come out, you know, here I'm this young dude, and they're all concerned about me. Like, this guy, one guy, half his face is, like, burnt.
Oh, wow.
You know, and this other guy, he's in the, and they're worried about me. I'm like, dude, I'm like 20, 30 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. But that kindness and that concern for me, mm-hmm. as a feather soldier, I mean, that, mm-hmm. I mean, they call me brother. That's what they do. We call each other brother. And
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it is a mind frame. I guess there is an attitude behind being a servant, because when you do volunteer to become a soldier, that is a servant. That is you're putting yourself into a service. And I guess a lot of times people in service position, and they're not servants.
Mm-hmm.
Their attitude is not to serve. Their attitude is just, I'm trying to get out of this what I can.
I think another thing to add to that is I think a lot of people are preoccupied with other stuff.
Mm.
And so when you come in there and they're mad at you, they're not really mad at you.
Right, right.
They're mad at something else, and right. you just happen to be the object that's going to receive right. the wrath. Right?
Right.
Their kid is dropping out of school.
Right.
Somebody's in the hospital. You know, they right. don't have any personal time from work, whatever it is.
Right. But
Their car broke down.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, but you have to stop yourself. You have to do something, like you were saying, break that. Hey, yeah. I'm here. I'm in this position.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't know, God put me here or whoever put me here. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm in this minister. Let's say minister. Mm-hmm. I'm a minister.
Yeah.
What's a minister? To minister.
Yeah.
That's my right. job. Oh, well, I'm a, you know, today dealt with that man today. And it was just, I was like, calm down.
So now I'm really going to sound like a hypocrite. If you didn't thought I was a hypocrite before, now I'm really going to sound like a hypocrite. Now I'm really going to sound like a hypocrite. Bear with me now.
Sorry.
That when you come in contact with someone like that,
mm-hmm.
that hopefully you have the wherewithal to be able to see their pain,
mm-hmm.
and like make an olive tree, kind of an olive mm-hmm. branch reaching out saying, hey, I noticed that you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. Would it be all right if I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if I just said a short prayer for mm-hmm. you? I'm a minister, and I believe that, you know, if we pray to Jesus, it'll make a difference in your life. Now, I'm you know, that takes, you know, courage in Christ to do that. And you might get snapped back at, and it's like, mm-hmm. okay, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's not even that. It's just taking their abuse and then praying for them. Mm-hmm. You know, not being angry.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when you're patient, well, how do I say? When people treat you not so good, like, just, you know, if you go to the grocery store and someone's like super rude to you, mm-hmm. you have the option of being like getting angry back mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah, but road like, rage. That's what road rage is yeah. all about. Shopping
so,
rage.
So when you have the ability to control your emotions, you know what I'm saying? Like yes. what it says in Proverbs, to be yes. a steward of your spirits, like,
right.
and not being angry because it brings folly, mm-hmm. getting angry fast. So when you're exercising that control, because God gives you that control over yourself, it's such a good feeling when people will intentionally, and maybe God just allows them to come your way so like he can test you.
Yeah,
you know?
That is true.
And not really necessarily, you don't even have to say anything to them at the moment to like defuse. You can just literally walk away and then like pray for them and then feel bad for them. That's such a power flex, like for God, when literally people can't play your emotions. And that's where, so like, true. Real growth is coming.
Because, yes, yes.
you know, like, let's just say there's a particular person that irritates you, chides mm-hmm. you. You know, there's always.
Well, there is.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, and when you get to that place in God and he kind of reveals, like, you've got to work on this. And then with his help and you learn how to deal with people, mm-hmm. that's such a flex in spiritual growth. Like, You're getting B.I.G. Big and God.
That was so good that I almost consider it like a mic drop moment, but I don't want you dropping my mic.
No,
I
was Bam! No, right? Just kidding.
That was really good.
Yeah.
And then and it was very to the point.
Yeah.
It was, because, man, it's so easy to snap back. It's so easy to get an attitude.
Well, that's what we want to do. I don't think there's any time that you have someone who
doesn't it really all basically boil down to pride? How dare you know, do this to me?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Right? Well, just taking both of what you just said. Consider them not responding to them.
Yeah.
Consider what they're going to, not responding to it. Respond to it rightly. And, man, I think that takes a constant reminding yourself of who you are.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that...
Constantly reminding yourself who you are.
Yeah, the closer you get to God and you learn how to control your thoughts.
Right.
That's something that, like, when you're... when you don't have a strong relationship with God yet and you're new in your salvation, and you don't know how the Spirit operates and whatever, but as you mature a little bit, you understand, like, you finally understand when the pastor says every day you have to make up your mind to be a Christian, but it goes further than that. It's every moment, every minute. It's constantly reverting your mind away from the flesh, because the flesh is always just... wants to take you out to left field, like, no matter what's going on. It could be, like, as simple as just, like, oh, here I am scrubbing this stupid toilet again, you know? But then you're like, no, I have health. I'm here.
Right.
I'm healthy enough to do this. Yeah. I have a family.
Yes.
What a blessing. I have a bathroom.
Gratefulness
and
is
then
powerful.
You're just like,
it
constantly, I find myself doing that more and more the closer I get to God. It's like, it's like literally a constant redirecting of thought, you know, just like,
it is.
Be grateful. You have a home. Oh, well, thank you, Father.
Right.
I have a toilet
contentment.
To clean. Thank you, God.
With contentment.
Godliness with contentment. It's great game.
Great game.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, I told you on the phone, I said, it's awesome to be able to empty your car full of groceries and put them away and not struggle to put them away because there was nothing in the fridge. You know, it's just like, oh, this can go straight in, you know. Like the cupboards are like have places to put stuff.
Right.
I've done, you know, and I wasn't like starving or nothing.
No,
but,
no,
but
sir.
Still, you know, just having that, just still. And being able to stop and just say, wow.
So sometimes
you did this, God.
And that's the deal. Sometimes God has to take things away from us and let us
make us appreciate.
Struggle to appreciate, because we just don't appreciate things until we lost it. When we lose it, then all of a sudden, but we don't have, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But we don't have to, God doesn't have to do that if we'll just constantly remind ourselves who we are in God. If we just constantly remind us, be that grateful attitude.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I'm not. Again, I'm not trying to say super Christian here.
Yeah.
Me either.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about that scripture where he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus.
I knew you.
It's a dual sword on that.
Yes.
You know, first off, you recognize that you are in a place of authority in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, let this mind be in you, which was Christ, who thought it not robbery to be in the form of God. So, first off, hey, we're children of God. We're elevated. We're you know, we've got this. But then it totally flips around and says, and made himself a servant. Right? Even unto death.
Yes.
Right? And so it's like it's a duality thing.
Is.
You know, it's one, you recognize who you are, but then the other side of the spectrum is humility.
That is
right.
Boom. You nailed it. Yeah. You nailed it. That's exactly it. Because
you can't have one or the other, because they won't work.
Right, because you'd literally kill yourself trying to do both of them. I mean, one of them, because you become this arrogant, know-it-all, I know everything.
Yep.
And then you become I'm not worthy of anything at all, I'm just a servant.
Right.
Nobody really cares, I'm not
that important. There's a balance.
And it's so important that we remind ourselves every moment. Sorry.
Well, it ain't going to be any worse than that muffler out there. That
that fart can on a Honda.
What a clown.
Sorry. I'm clumsy. Leave it to
well, that was kind of precarious to begin with, so.
But that's why you I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I'm good.
Is that stand okay, though?
Yeah.
Didn't none of those legs got bent or anything?
I don't think so, no. No,
I never set it up. That's why I had it there, leaned it over like that.
Okay.
That's why it was just, yeah, I broke that train of thought up.
Yeah, no joke. Right. So now the flesh is like risen up. I'm like, is that broke? What should I do about that? If it was broke, you'd be like, okay, well, praise God. What are we going to do, you know? See if you can, like, I was going to say, see if you can slide that folding table in between the bookcase and the thing there. Yeah, see if you can slide it in there. That'll keep it from falling over. Thank you.
There we go. You can just cut this out.
It's no big deal. Pete, this is, you know, I'm going to say this. We can recover from most things. You know, people are listening to us. This lets people know we're real people. You know?
We are not real. We are not AI.
Yeah, we're not Joe Rogan, we got, you know, some fancy studio, and Jordan Peterson's coming over next week.
We have people serving us. You know, yeah. People bring the coffee.
Bring that up, Jamie. Bring that up,
right.
Jamie.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Thanks for the coffee, John.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. John is you. You walked over there and filled the cup up.
Oh, that's so funny. No, and I enjoy coming here and doing this podcast with you guys. I really do. You can't have conversation with some people. You really can't.
This is cathartic, man. It's very cathartic.
Because I notice the atmosphere is already getting worse. And we haven't even got to the political. It really hadn't even really hit anything. And I listen to, these are people who, they're friends with each other. And they're letting politics separate them. I'm like, you can't be nice. What happened to, I thought you loved that person. I thought you cared about that person. Just because they're voting for somebody you don't like, all of a sudden, you know, don't get me wrong. There is some things that out there in both party, but when it's all said and done, we're all human. We're all people. We all have a soul. We all have to be accountable to God. And that's why I was saying that, you know, being respectful to each other. There's no respect for each other anymore. Oh, you wrong. You wrong. Okay. We've all been wrong. And
I'm going to throw another one out there. And I mean, these are just coming at me like fastballs in baseball. The message Sunday night was abide in Christ.
Yes.
And so having this mentality where you're always mindful of Christ. Like if you're living a life where Christ is real and you are, you know, where like one man of God said, you want to get to the place in your life where you burp and you say, excuse me, because the Holy Ghost is there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That you just have this relationship with God to where you know God is there and he's paying attention.
Yes.
And having that mentality of being present with Christ, right? And that's challenging because the closer you get to Christ, the less there is of you.
Yes, the flesh. He
must increase and I must decrease. Yes. If people are on that path of abiding in Christ and getting closer to Christ, there is going to be less of them. It's just you're going to start diminishing, and it's challenging.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. And I think a lot of people stop because it hurt, because of the pain, because it's painful. The closer you get to Christ and what God wants you to be, it's painful. And sometimes we want to stop because we are seeing less of ourselves. And the I won't even say less of ourselves. I'm just saying the fleshly part of us.
Right.
Because there's a part of us that God has called and we are that he loves. He loves us. But it's that worldly, fleshly attitude that we have that we, even as Christians, we get caught up in the bidding of the world. Oh, well, Russia and this and that. And they're coming to get. Last night, a man stopped me in the store and he said, Russia, you know, Alaska is right there. I'm saying, yeah, I know that. And you don't understand that. And I didn't even say anything.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even give this man my opinion at all.
Yeah.
He just assumed that
you
I knew
ready and willing.
And you don't understand, you know, and we gonna get overtaken and and I'm thinking, man, you're really worked up, sir. I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, let me lead you with this comfort. There's so many rednecks in this country right now that if anybody came in that country, there will be a war.
Yeah.
You don't have to, this president, and he was, I don't even know if he was a Democrat or Republican because he was just blasting everybody.
Yeah.
I had on my God Got Me shirt. So he said, you know, brother, me and you are in, you know, we understand. I said, no, I don't understand. I said, I'm in Christ. God's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
I'm not worked up.
Right. So I'm going to ask you a question. Can you tell me a little bit about Romans chapter 8? Because I know somebody whose favorite chapter is Romans chapter 8.
So that's funny you say that.
There is.
That's funny you say that. Because today, the ladies, they corner me to send them scriptures every day.
Right. Oh, really?
Today, I sent them Romans chapter 8.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
What shall separate us from the love of God?
That's the end of the chapter.
Oh, therefore there is no condemnation to those who walk.
Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit.
Yes.
So many times we get out of the spirit and we walk in the flesh.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to be like Christ, that servant and the overcomer at the same time. The overcomer, but the servant.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give whatever God. Right. And that flesh is just.
And the cares of this life.
It's easier to be worried than to take that.
Yeah.
Take it and say, I'm a conqueror.
Right.
I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ. We know that all things work for the good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
I think that's part of the problem because people don't have God's purpose.
No.
They have their own purpose.
Yeah, but how could they know God's purpose? Because they're not in his presence. They're not.
Yes.
They're not submitting themselves to God. They're placing themselves into his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really our part. You know, our part is to submit ourselves.
Yes.
And to just, you know, like let go of ourselves.
Key to submission.
Submission. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And dwelling.
That was the title of the message.
Dwelling in, that was your message on Sunday morning.
Yes.
And then the complimentary message was
abiding in
Christ.
Yes.
Submit yourselves, therefore, resist the devil.
And he'll flee.
And he will flee.
He will flee. Not that he will flee. And so many times is we trying to resist the devil. Mm-hmm. And I think your last podcast was, you know, trying to fight the devil in the flesh. You can't. There's a spiritual war that goes on.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's, yeah.
Every day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every moment. Mm-hmm. You can't let down your guard. When you let down your guard, you are subject to take a shot from the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. I heard an analogy, and they were talking about somebody left their door open, right, and went to bed. Mm-hmm. And then they got broken into and they got robbed. Mm-hmm. And so the police didn't tell the guy, it's your fault or whatever, but it was his neglect. So it's the same thing. If you don't lock your spiritual doors, you're waiting for the devil to come in. And it's not because he didn't go out there and say, hey, my house is open. Nope, come on over here.
Nope.
He didn't advertise. Mm-mm. I got a big screen TV and a PS whatever. But what was he saying? What was the analogy? He was saying that it's neglect that invites Satan in. The neglect of your spirit, your soul.
So I was in that same VA hospital and they had this TV on. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of... this one show where has a lot of women there and they're giving their opinion.
Yeah.
I won't say what show it is. You already know. And the one lady said, well, I don't like that because they're always saying that it's my fault. It ain't my fault. There's some things that I cannot help. And you know, and I was born poor and I couldn't help it. And one guy was, one of the vet was like, man, you don't look poor. and he expect everybody to just, you know, change your attitude and be able to do things for yourself. Some people just can't do stuff for themselves. And I'm thinking, that's not true.
Victim mentality.
If you want to be angry, you'll find a way to be
Yes.
angry.
Yes.
If you want to be bitter, you'll find a way to be bitter.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about people now. I'm not gonna name names, but I can think of, you know, especially like in reference to that show you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's a permanent host on that show that isn't a millionaire,
right?
I mean, they're living in a mansion. You know, they buy whatever clothes they want. They eat whatever food they want. You know,
they go wherever they want.
And they have basically proven that they're not a victim.
Proved it.
They've proven that they're not a victim.
Proved it.
But they want to be a victim because it's like a badge of honor.
It is like.
They're like, oh
feel bad
woe
for
is
me.
Lord, you know, and it's like.
It's not my fault.
A true relationship with God is going to be that situation like where it's with Moses and he's crying to God and God's like, get up.
Again. And a servant is not a victim. A servant is a willing person that's willing to serve. Mm-hmm. An overcomer is someone who overcomes everything that comes his way. Mm-hmm. You cannot have, nowhere in there does it says victim. There's no, only victim, only time we became a victim is when Adam messed up and sinned.
Right,
but Jesus Christ came to take that victim mentality away from us.
Well, not just the mentality, he actually took away the condemnation that was against us.
Yes.
Right? The writing on the wall, the sentence, the judgment that was already due to us.
Yes.
He took that away.
Yes.
And people don't spend any time trying to comprehend that. Mm-mm. They don't, you know, they don't want to comprehend, you know, the victory. So that is the beautiful thing about the grace of God. Mm-hmm. It's like it gives you victory, but it also humbles you to realize that, you know, it's not of your own doing, it's of Christ. So you're like right there in the middle, the perfect middle. You know, you've got all the blessings on one side and no reason to get puffed up about it on the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even have the, even get in that attitude like, oh, God doesn't. He's not going to hear me. I messed up too much. I heard a lady say the other day, say, you can't get that at you like, well, God's not going to do anything for me. I can't get God's mercy. And she said, you didn't deserve it the first time. Mm-hmm. You didn't deserve it the first time. Right. What are you talking about? You can go and get it. He's there.
Right.
But you
has given us his spirit, will he not also freely give us all things?
Romans chapter 8. You can't make this up. You cannot make this up.
You couldn't write it any better.
You cannot make this up.
And that's why we're here, the iron sharpening iron.
You can't make this stuff up.
We need each other.
Yes. Oh, this is so true.
Yeah.
This is so true. And just getting back to understanding who you are. When you constantly tell yourself that you're a victim, mm-hmm. you constantly tell you, I can't overcome that. That's too big for me. Or I can't do. You basically dooming yourself. Not God, not the devil.
Right.
You're dooming yourself. You're speaking defeat over your life.
Right.
You're saying God's up there like, what are you doing?
He could do no great work because of their unbelief.
Yep. Right.
Right.
Again.
He that seeketh God must first believe that he is, and that he's a
rewarder of the diligent.
Hebrews 11:6.
Yeah.
Going back to Christ, what he did, and when he, not only did he go to hell, he came up. And the Bible said he gave gifts unto men.
Uh-huh.
He gave gifts unto men.
Right.
We all have a gift.
Uh-huh.
And even Proverbs said, your gift will put you before great men. I'm paraphrasing that. Right. We all have gifts. Mm-hmm. We don't activate them. We just don't activate them. Mm-hmm. We don't cultivate them. All of us have, you know me. I put people in these certain categories and stuff, and I think those are gifts. I really do.
Yeah.
I look at you. You have a special gift, and sister has a special gift. Mm-hmm. I do, and I try to exploit that in people. When I try to find out what they have. Okay, that's where I'm going to deal with them. That's how I'm going to deal with them according to their gifts. And when we deny the gifts that God has given to us, we deny our proper place in him.
Mm-hmm.
Really do. And God has given us these things. So and we don't want to acknowledge them because we want to be a victim.
Yeah,
I want to be a victim. Listen
to this one. I'm thinking this is going to, same line of thought. Well, that's what we're trying to do here. I remember reading in Romans. There was a piece in Romans I was reading, and I didn't quite understand it, and I sought the Lord for understanding. He said, don't say who hath descended into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Romans. To bring up Christ from
Romans chapter
the dead.
Eight. Yes.
And then the other one, is that Romans chapter 8?
It's Romans chapter 8.
And then he also said, and do not say who hath descended in heaven. That's to bring Christ back down from heaven.
Yes.
And that's also the duality. Mm-hmm. You've got Christ goes to hell to pay for your sins and returns. And then you got Christ rises into heaven and has victory. The humility of Christ in hell, the victory of Christ in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to accept both, right?
Right.
You've got to accept the duality. Yes. You've got to accept the humility and the suffering and the giving up, you know, what's that word that they use for Christ emptying himself to become a man? The kenosis or something like that?
Oh, that's
I don't know.
Big There's word a, for me. That's too intelligent.
It's above
for
my
me.
Pay grade.
Yeah, that's way before me. So, well, what you're saying, so you can have the gifts. But you need the fruit also.
Right. Yeah. No, I liked what you said in that message. You know, I really liked that.
And I used to, you know, you were in Bible school, they used to say all the time, pray to be usable. Pray to be usable.
Right, not to be
not
used.
To be used. Pray to be, and it just could not, I could not, like, what are you talking about? Huh?
Right.
Who doesn't want to be used? But when you got the fruit of the Spirit working in you, God's able to use those things. Mm-hmm. He's able to use. God can use anything. God can use anybody. Mm-hmm. Like God can use that. He could use that chair. He can mm-hmm. make that chair float over and say,
right.
But most people are not usable because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. working in them. It's not. And I'm talking preachers. I'm talking people that are called of God.
Right.
They do not have the fruit in them. And that's why people get hurt.
Yeah.
That's why people get hurt.
They lost their first love. The first love is, this really bothered me. He used to always say the first love is soul winning. That's not true.
No.
The first love is you falling in love with God, with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you lost your first love. You don't see any value in Christ anymore.
No.
You don't see what God has done for you.
The preciousness.
Right. You don't see the preciousness of it. Right, that's the reason why it's just one of my pet peeves. Is like, if you're gonna preach, I shouting's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to get convicted.
Yes,
I want people to see the darkness of the pit that they're in sin.
Greatest miracle is a man and a woman when they get born again.
Amen.
Give me. Sir. I don't care about your healing power. I don't care about you. Oh, I'm a God to bless you, give you millions of dollars, and God to make you flow.
Yeah,
Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water, but he wasn't born again.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Right.
The greatest miracle ever happened is when a man and a woman become new.
Peter was the one who failed God, arguably the most, other than Judas Iscariot, right? According to scripture, because mm-hmm. you could see his fall so many times, it was directly written out.
All the time.
But in Peter, what did he say? He mentioned the preciousness of Christ 2 times. Because the same Peter that failed knew, look, boys, well, look, world.
I've messed up
so many times, but the one thing I learned, the one thing I've learned from this life, the one thing from meeting Jesus until now and for the rest of my life, no matter where I am, where I end up, he said, what? The preciousness of Christ. He learned how precious Christ was because the preciousness of Christ is what forgave him. Because what did he say? He went out and he wept bitterly after Jesus looked at him. What did he went and prayed for repentance. His Father, I messed up. Yes. Jesus, I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what did Jesus say when he came back? Especially Peter, go tell people, Peter. So what was he saying? It's all good, Peter. Yeah. It's all good.
Again.
You realize who I am.
Again, we going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not deserve to be forgiven the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think, I got to do something to get back to God? Yeah. I got to. No, you couldn't do nothing the first time. Mm-hmm. You messed up.
Amen.
Peter messed up constantly.
Right.
Peter.
But
put
once those walls come down, Satan just comes charging in, and he's going to try to his very best to keep you discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, there's been people we've come in contact with. They've got some idea in their head about why they can't be right with God. And no matter what you tell them, they're just stuck on it.
That's why I try to get you to pray with that man on Sunday night, that young man on Sunday night.
Because
that's where he's at. He thinks he can't be forgiven. I don't know what he's done, but he's always,
always down. Yeah.
Always down.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Who hasn't messed up? Who has not failed God?
Yeah, none of us deserve.
Who has not failed
all
God?
All have come short.
Who has not failed God? I mean, even after you become a Christian, who has completely did everything God wanted them to do? Nobody has. We all got to come. Yeah. But that's the deal. We all have to come to that mentality. Again, we're talking about that balance. Hey, wait a minute. Lord, I messed up, but you got to do something. You got to do something. I'm coming boldly before your throne.
Yeah.
Boldly. Not, right. No.
Right.
It's just,
I messed up. Yeah, I blew it again, Lord.
Right.
But I'm coming. I'm kicking this door down. Yeah. Here I am again, Lord. Here's Brother McCree again. Yeah.
Right.
I need you to touch me. I need just you to watch me one more time.
Ever renewing grace of God in our lives.
Yes.
And just realizing that you can access it at any time. And also realizing that God never, we always picture God as like the one who like kicks the little kid who's down.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? People have that like idea because God's so great and holy. And so they're just like, oh, when God looks at me, such a little failure, like, oh, whatever. But that's not how God sees us. God saw us all so valuable in that he sent his son for us.
Yes.
I mean, we're so ornately valuable.
Like you were saying, abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Christ.
Yeah.
God sees us through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't see us.
Yeah, you don't want to be seen as yourself, right?
When he right. looks down at us, he sees Romans chapter 8, predestined. Yes. He's predestined us to be in the form of Christ.
Right, conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes, right. That's the way God mm-hmm. sees us. We see this. I don't know, whatever we see.
Mm-hmm.
But God's looking at what he wants to make us.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing that. Mm-hmm. He's seeing that mm-hmm. as a parent, you don't always see, you see your kid being better than you are.
You hope.
You're seeing your motives is to make your kid better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, don't get me wrong. It's okay that he don't go to jail, but you want him to be more than just not go to jail and be a strung out and a drug addict. You want him to add to society and maybe one day find God and be, that's the attitude of the father is he wants us to be like Christ. His desire is for us to be like Christ. If we'll just get that attitude,
mm-hmm.
God, if God be for us, who
can be against
can
us?
Be against mm-hmm. us?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Yeah.
That was a question. He asked that question.
He was the light of men. And what does it say that to them that were in darkness? He was the light. And he came as the light. And that's in Luke, I think the second chapter. But what was he trying to say? Like, even in the darkness where we're stumbling around, there's still hope. And a lot of the times we just get so hung up on our failures, you know, mistakes or whatever.
And
but
that's,
we just walk towards the light.
And you know what that is? That's pride.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's pride. Because
yes,
now you're relying on yourself.
Hello.
Right. Now you're relying on yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. And so, you know.
You're not abiding in Christ.
No. You're not allowing Christ to be the predominant force in your life.
The root that's bringing the nutrients to the branches.
Oh, no. I can make this fruit grow.
No. Right? The nutrients is coming. It's got to go through the root to get to the branch. You can't take a branch and just put it in the ground.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anything.
Right.
You're not getting nothing.
Right. Well, the branch can't put itself in the ground anyways if it's off. Someone has to come along and put the branch on.
Even if you just
regraft
put
it in.
Even the branch without roots cannot grow. Without the vine.
Yeah.
That's what it really meant,
shall
that vine.
Like
that
a plant that
right.
is planted.
And you just cannot. There has to be. You have to have a root. Because you notice they take. Like my wife. She's. Make me sick sometimes. She'll make anything come back alive. But she can take a leaf and put it in the water. And it start growing these little roots.
Uh-huh.
And then she takes it and plants it in the ground. And it grows into this vine and all this other thing. But it didn't. But she didn't just bury it in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
She made it so it'd have some roots. We have to be rooted in Christ. If we don't, we don't get the nutrients we need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Help me quote it. And he shall be like a tree planted by
The rivers of water.
Rivers of water.
And you shall bear much fruit.
Yes.
That goes right into what you're saying. Because John 5 and 15.
Are we done?
I think so. I mean, we're not done. But.
Time's up?
We're close. We're not time's up, but we're close. And I think that we've made a good mark on this podcast. You know, we really covered a lot of ground.
Well, it's been a while since we've gotten together. So, you know, this is kind of like a refreshing.
I think another part of it is that, you know, like you said, you were busy all day today. I was busy all day today. She was busy all day today. And now all of a sudden we're like,
well, she came with the energy, though.
Oh, she brought the energy to
this? Well, she brought the energy.
She did bring the energy.
She brought
today.
The energy because she came
and
woke
me
up.
Did you see when we were like going, I had to turn her down.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
When does that ever
happen?
That's
what I'm saying. She brought the energy. She brought the energy tonight. She did. Or today, this evening. It was. And I needed it because I felt I felt it. So
yeah,
that made me wake up and pay attention to.
My bad.
No, you're not. You're good.
That's why we do this with three and four people, and it's just so.
You know, he said that, what was it, a threefold cord cannot be broken.
Broken. Mm-hmm.
That. If you're by yourself, it's not additional, it's multiplicable.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yes.
You know, one can do, two can do way more than two individuals.
Are you really?
Three can just not even be broken.
Bro. Being united together.
Right.
Oh, so important.
Same mission. Every time, you know, every time I come here and be with you guys, it seems to get better. It seems like we all find our place.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more we've talked, each one of us is, it's been less of talking over each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or you look at me and I'm stopping. And I know you're about to say something. And if people, even men and women, married, friends, church, just stay in your lane. Learn to stay in your lane. Allow the other person, hey, let them shine. If they're shining, let them shine.
Right.
You don't have to, they can all, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
Get behind, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
If you got it, let's go.
Yeah.
She brought the energy. I was like, let's go. No, let's go. I felt it. I'm not saying, no, it was good. I enjoyed the fact that we can sit here and talk.
Like, right. I think the best part of this podcast is the fact that it's helped us grow.
That's it.
Right.
So true.
That is so, because every time something about myself is revealed, it's been a month. It's been a month I've been going through this.
Yeah.
I've been going through this transformation that has been like the hardest. I would say this has been the hardest battle of my Christianity, period. Mm-hmm. Since I got saved, because all this stuff that tacked me way back, it's all come up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all come back up. Mm-hmm. It's all come back up. It's all been, and I just laughed because I said, I got the victory this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've taken this test.
Praise God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got the answer to this test.
Yes.
I got the, and this time you said it, I'm abiding in him. I'm following God. I'm not literally, and I'm not, this is not pride. I've literally every day tried to say, okay, Lord, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this by myself, because last time I tried to fight this battle by myself and I fail.
Right.
This time, if I fall, it's because you want me to fall.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. And then he's, bro, there's been like, I feel like there's a, literally, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I've literally felt like there's been angels that have intercepted things.
Mm-hmm.
And I went like, wow, that's scary.
That's Lord, awesome.
Lord, who, I appreciate you. I thank you because that could have been ugly.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been ugly. But
yeah.
But the Lord, and it's constantly, constantly, and this is hard for me because you know I talk a lot. Like I'm talking, rattling there. Just be quiet. Mm-hmm. Be quiet. Be quiet, son. I got you. I'm gonna quit with this. This is the thing. The main thing he said to me has he said to me, I know. I know.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I don't have to defend myself.
Right. Amen. Well, bye.
Bye.